So Psalm 31:24. I felt it necessary to leave Galatians once again, and the reason why is I keep talking to a lot of people who are going through great trials, and I felt like the message we were at in Galatians, which was on false teachers, probably wasn't going to be that helpful at this point for what everybody seems to be going through. So that's why I thought I want to go to Psalm 31, because Psalm 31 is a very helpful passage that comes out of the experience of David. And when you get a chance, read the whole psalm. In fact, I might just go back later on and teach the whole psalm because it's unbelievable. But right tonight, we're just going to look at the last verse. And what inspired me to teach this, I've got to say, is I was reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon. And it so spoke to me, I thought, I've got to bring that to my friends. I've got to share this with my friends. And so we're going to look at that. It's my thoughts and mixed in with his thoughts. But let's read it. Psalm 31:24 says this. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. New King James Version puts it this way. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We'll use that one probably. Now that line we're going to see, we're going to break this into four parts, this little verse. We're going to look at a select audience, a spiritual ailment, a summons to action, and then a superb assurance. So let's look at a select audience. Psalm 31:24 again, out of the New King James Version says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So what we see there is this is to a select audience, isn't it? This isn't to everybody. I mean, the Bible has words in it for everybody. But these words are for only those who hope in the Lord. Now, let's take a look at what that means. First thing is, it means this. This is a group of people that they still don't have everything they desire yet, right? They're still hoping for it. They're hoping for something yet to happen in their life. Well, what does that mean? Well, you may be going through a trial right now and it is hard, but if you're a Christian, you have that believer's hope, don't you? You're clinging to the promises that God will visit you, that God will help. Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Isn't that good? And so that's what we cling to, is truths like that, right? Yeah, right now there's weeping. Right now there's pain. But I know that eventually God is going to visit me. And there is going to come a time where there's going to be that joy and laughter again in the morning. And that is my hope. And even though you may be in the darkness of a severe trial, there is that ray of hope that Scripture provides, right? You're hoping for good things because your hope is in God, your loving Father. He is your loving Father who has said, Jeremiah 29:11. I've got a lot of scriptures tonight. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:11. God, you've said that you've got good plans for my life. It doesn't look so good right now, and I don't know how this is going to work itself out. But God, you said, and that is my hope. What a difference this makes, doesn't it? As a Christian, what a difference it makes to have this kind of hope. The world doesn't have hope like this. The world fixes their gaze only on the here and the now and the temporal. Bill Cosby said this, the past is a ghost, the future a dream, and all we ever have is now. Man, I'm glad that's not all I ever have, because right now hasn't been that much fun. You know, I don't know about you, 2009 wasn't all that good. And so if that's all we have is the now, we're in trouble, aren't we? But praise God, we have more than linking our hope to mere men and circumstances now. These things that are constantly changing, constantly disappointing. The Christian can see beyond the temporal to a God who is in control of all things, to a loving Father who never fails and in the end never disappoints. To a loving Father who has promised to care for us and who has said, in all these promises I've given to you, I am a God who cannot lie. Every one of them is sure. Now, of course, the ultimate hope is that soon we will be with Him in glory, isn't it? That we're going to get the upgrade from earth to heaven. That's the ultimate hope, isn't it? Scripture says this life is what? But a vapor. But a vapor. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. None of us know if we're going to wake up tomorrow morning. There is no one in this room that knows that for sure. We may wake up dead tomorrow. Not really. We'll wake up alive, huh? Because we'll be in glory with our King. Glory. Heaven. Where it makes the best the world has to offer look like a slum. One writer said this: take the deepest enchantment that you have ever known, the loftiest ecstasy that you have ever felt. Take that moment when you felt most totally alive. Then intensify that instant a millionfold, and perhaps you will be getting within range of imagining what heaven is like. All I've got to say to that is bring it on. That sounds good. So we are not like the world whose hope is linked to temporal circumstances and fallible men. Our hope is firmly grounded in the faithfulness of God, our loving Father, and in Christ, our wonderful Savior, who died for us. And we know if He was willing to do that, Scripture says in Romans 8, what will He withhold? If God the Father didn't withhold His only Son, then what else would He withhold in meeting our needs? Nothing. Now, Spurgeon brought up an interesting point here. He said some believers never go much beyond hope. Some believers never go much beyond hope. And what he meant by that is they never get to a place where they actually rest in the promises, where there is an assurance and a confidence in the promises. They're constantly struggling with doubt and fear. The word hope, when you see the word hope in Scripture, it's more of a confident expectation. It's not a word that has question marks in it. But for some believers that lack confidence, that word hope is a word that has a lot of question marks in it. And it is more like we use it today. Oh, I hope this will happen. I hope that will happen. I know the promise says this, and oh, I hope that's true. Listen, if that's true of you, my purpose is not to condemn you tonight, but it's to comfort you, really. If your hope, though small, though weak, though filled with fear, is still in the Lord, listen, know this, God loves you and you are His. Know this, that He wants to help you, and the sweetness of this verse is for you. He desires to draw you close to His heart tonight, and He desires to strengthen you through His Word. So if you feel so small, so useless, you know you're not what you want to be, and it seems like all you can see is your imperfections, listen, if you can come and say with trembling, God, I hope in You. God, I believe You. God, I trust, like that one man. God, I believe, help my unbelief. My faith seems so weak. Take comfort, weak saint. Your God loves you. He's your Father and He wants to care for you. He wants to help you and He will help. This passage is for those who hope in the Lord. Now let's dig a bit deeper into this thought of hope and all that. And I want to show you something here where this hope can begin to struggle. And it's because of a spiritual ailment. Those who are hoping in the Lord can struggle with a heart problem. See it there? Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. So you can be a person who is very strong at times, but all of a sudden you have this spiritual heart problem and you begin to weaken. And I want to look at that, because sometimes the heart of those who hope in the Lord can grow weak. This causes us to lose our courage and our joy. And what happens is fear replaces peace when that happens. Now the question is, how does this work? How can somebody who has seemed so strong, so filled with faith, all of a sudden be so weakened and have this spiritual heart problem? Well, it can happen during a prolonged trial, can it? If you've ever been in a prolonged trial, listen, before it hits you, you can seem so strong, can't you? You feel like, I have great faith. I can handle anything. Bring it on. Then the sifting starts, and unlike other trials, it carries on and on and on. And those who boasted of great faith can wonder if they have any faith at all. Have you ever been there? Where did all that strength go? I was so strong 3 or 4 months ago, and now I wonder, Lord, do I have faith at all? And it can just seem like we are getting hit from all sides when we're being sifted. Like we're a boxer up against the ropes and we're just taking one body punch after another. And we become kind of like Eeyore Christians. We've talked about this before. Eeyore Christians, right? Where it's like, oh, woe is me. Nothing's good. Everything's bad. Right? And we can get that way, can't we? We have no faith. We just expect bad things. And so when everything that has just a bit of negativity to it comes into our life, we're like, of course. Why wouldn't that happen to me now? Just the way it is anymore. Listen, in times of health, when sickness lingers, in times of financial hardship where you can't see how you'll make ends meet, in times of great temptation, all of those kind of times, it seems like our heart can begin to fail us. And we can end up feeling so weak and so useless and so afraid. And this weakness of heart can just paralyze us in our walk with God and in our service with God, where we think, I'm too weak to be any good to anybody. Lord, how could you ever use somebody like me? I don't think you can. Listen, the problem is we've lost our confidence in God, isn't it? That's the problem. We've fixed our gaze upon us and our circumstances. We see things only from a human standpoint. We don't bring God into the picture anymore. It is confidence in God that's the secret, isn't it, for the Christian life? Trusting Him, believing in Him, keeping our eyes on Him in our circumstances. Listen, when we keep our eyes on ourselves and our circumstances, our heart's going to fail us, isn't it? Every time. Why? Because we're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We're not big enough to handle what this world throws at us. Listen, we will be overwhelmed. But when we fix our eyes on the Lord and we trust in Him, that is the medicine for spiritual heart disease. That is the cure. And you see this with Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. I love this. Just listen to this. Listen to the circumstances, and then listen to the choice he makes. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty. Well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? That sounds a little bit like what some people are going through financially today, doesn't it? I look and everything's barren. I don't see how this is going to work out. But listen to the choice he makes. 3:18, he says, yet, here's the choice I will make. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. Isn't that good? Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. That's a scripture we should memorize. When I see all of these bad things going on in barrenness, I choose to trust in the Lord. And when I choose to trust in the Lord, He makes me sure-footed so that I don't slip. Do you feel like you have spiritual heart disease tonight? You feel so weak? Listen, God has not left you. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Do you feel like you've been knocked down in the fight? Listen, if you're a believer, if you've been knocked down in the fight, you know where you landed? In His hands. Right? You didn't get knocked out of His hands. You're still landed in His hands. He's holding you still. You're still in His grip. In your weakness, if you could be separated from God, you'd be in big trouble, wouldn't you? But you can't be. Romans 8:35 through 38 says this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble, are calamity, or are persecuted, or are hungry, or cold, or in danger, or threatened with death? Even the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Amen. No matter what you're going through tonight, God's love is there. He loves you. He's caring for you. He's allowing it for a reason. So we've seen that this verse is for those who hope in God. And we've seen that we can struggle with weakness of heart. That those who do hope in God, sometimes that hope can grow weak. Next thing is a summons to action. Look at Psalm 31:24 again. It says, "Be of good courage," New King James Version says. If we are going to rise out of our despondency, this psalm, this verse, calls us to some kind of action. We just don't sit back and say, well, you know, whatever, I'm just going to let life beat me up and I'm just going to take it and God, do something if you want to. No, God calls us to some action here, and He calls us to be of good courage. And I think that's saying you must wake yourself up. In time of trial, in time of hardship, you must wake yourself up. In other words, like I said, don't say, I can't do anything about this. I'm weak and fearful. I guess my lot in life is just to be down and depressed. No, don't say that. We are commanded to be of good courage. Be of good courage and God will strengthen your heart. See it there? Be of good courage and God will strengthen your heart. What does that mean, to be of good courage? Well, I think it simply means to believe. To trust in God, to hold up that shield of faith and to lean hard on God when we're going through times of trouble. We are to do what we can do and trust that God will do only what He can do. What can we do? Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Trust in God. Again, it comes back to confidence in God. That's what we are seeing. Confidence in God. That is what courage is built off of. Listen, courage here, when it says be of good courage, it doesn't mean look at yourself and try to see all those good things about yourself and build your courage and your confidence off of that. Listen, I've been looking for a long time at me, and I'm having a hard time finding anything to build courage and confidence off of. But when I look at God, that's when it all comes in, right? If I'm looking away from me to God and His truth, I can find confidence there. Question is, let me ask you this. Do you think God is trustworthy or worthy of our faith and confidence? Do you think He is? Is there anything He has ever done that would cause us to say, I don't think I can trust You? Listen, you must wake yourself up. I want to look at what our confidence is built off of. Our confidence is based on His truth that is backed by His character, right? All these promises in the Bible given to us from a God who cannot lie. So get your Bible out, see what He said, and realize that He can't lie. All of those are true. You can build confidence there, can't you? There's another thing. Our confidence is also based on God's past record of faithfulness, isn't it? Has He ever let us down? We look back and this record of faithfulness behind us is absolutely amazing, isn't it? I've walked with Him for 30 years. I've got a record of 30 years of divine faithfulness behind me now. And I love the saying, His past faithfulness requires our present trust. Isn't that good? His past faithfulness requires our present trust. All this. Yet, you know how easy it is to slide into a place of unbelief and to let that weakness of heart come back in? It is so easy, isn't it? When we see that happening, that is when we must shake ourselves awake and say, I choose to trust Him. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. I believe God is trustworthy. I am not going to dishonor Him by acting like He's not. We must preach to ourselves like David did. Psalm 42:5-6 says this. Here's David preaching to himself. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. He was downcast, and instead of just staying there, what did he do? He said, this requires some kind of action. I am going to force my thoughts upon God. I am going to choose to trust Him. David looked at God, hoped in God. And he stopped looking at only the circumstances. And that's what you've got to do, right? When I am getting down in the fight, I've got to say, Bill, why are you so downcast? Trust in God. When has He ever let you down, Bill? You think He's going to start now? Trust in Him, Bill. Then David continues on in verse 6 in Psalm 42. He says, my soul is downcast within me. This is good. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Isn't that good? My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I'm going to do something. Therefore, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to remember you, Lord, and your goodness and your greatness. I'm not going to stay in this kind of condition. I'm not going to just sit here and let these thoughts beat me up and let my imagination go wild on me, all of the what ifs. I'm going to remember you, God, and I am going to trust in you. I will force myself to think of the truth. New Living Translation says it this way. My God, now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember your kindness. How many of us just stay down in the fight? We don't fight for faith. We don't fight for hope. We don't fight for this trust in God. We just let circumstances beat us up. This verse says, get up and fight for faith. Fight for belief. Trust in God. He's trustworthy. Take courage. Listen, I have a set of fighter verses that is growing by the pages. Promises of God that have spoken to me when I've been down. What I do is I get those out and I start looking through them. When I get on the treadmill, we have a treadmill. So I'll get on the treadmill and I put these things up. I tape them up. I just as I'm walking, I'm just or running or whatever. I'll say running because that sounds a lot more macho. As I am just cranking. Yeah, because I want to not do any of that walking stuff, you know what I mean? But I put them there and I read them the whole time. The whole 3 hours I'm on the treadmill. Running the whole time. So get yourself a set of fighter verses that you go through when you're down and say, this is the truth. The next one then, let's move on. A superb assurance. A superb assurance. Verse 24 again says this. Be of good courage and He shall strengthen your heart. So we've seen a select audience, a spiritual ailment, a summons to action, and now the superb assurance. And only God can strengthen our hearts, right? You can't do that. What you can do is add courage and trust in Him and believe in Him. But actually strengthening your heart spiritually, that's His job, isn't it? Let's look at how He does that. Spurgeon suggested four ways, and I'm going to rip him off here. Spurgeon suggests four ways. It's still part of my thoughts, but I'm going to rip off his outline here. The first one is by gracious providence. Something very unexpected happens. You ever seen that? Spurgeon said, get used to unexpected things happening. He says, I expect it. I expect the unexpected. Isn't that good? That's the Christian, isn't it? Christian who walks with Almighty God can expect the unexpected. The children of Israel are fleeing out of Egypt. Pharaoh's army is pursuing them. And they come up against the Red Sea. So you have the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other. That's quite a problem, isn't it? That Red Sea is, I would call it, an obstacle, wouldn't you? And God proves through doing the unexpected how good He is at removing obstacles. He opens up the Red Sea and they walk through it on dry land. They're out in the wilderness and they're thirsty. And they cry out, we're going to die out here. We need water. And God brings water out of the rock. Listen, I don't think anybody saw that coming. That out of this rock, enough water would flow out to quench the thirst of millions of people. But it did. That's our God. When we are in situations where it seems there is no human solution, that is when God loves to move, right? And move unexpectedly. Remember when the disciples were out on the lake, Jesus said, get in the boat, let's go to the other side. And while they're out in the middle of the lake, this storm comes up and it's furious. And the waves are beginning to crash over the boat. And the waves are beginning to fill the boat with water. And the disciples are in there and they're doing everything they can. These guys are experts out on that lake. And so they're doing everything they knew what to do. And eventually they realize there is nothing more we can do. We're in trouble here. And they go and they wake Jesus up. I love that picture. They're just doing everything they can do. Jesus is asleep in the bow of the boat. That's the picture of the Christian peace during storm. I mean, that's the possibility, I think. God, give us that kind of peace. But they wake him up and they say, "Don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you see how much water is in this boat and see how high those waves are? We've done everything we can. We can't stop this. Don't you care about that?" Jesus gets up, calms the storm, then gently rebukes them. Why do you have such little faith? I think each one of us in our trials, he could probably come to us, huh? And say, "Why do you have so little faith? Don't you remember what I've done for 30 years, Bill? Oh yeah, I forgot. Well, remember. Oh yeah." But what happened when he did the unexpected, when they had run out of all their scheming, all of their plans, all of their techniques? Well, Jesus got great glory, didn't he? That's what happens. Many times God will allow us to get to the point where we are just completely frazzled. And we say, "I don't know what else to do. I have schemed. I have plotted. I have hinted." Right? "I have tried everything I can do to get this thing done. And God, I am just desperate and I don't know what else to do." And God finally says, "You know what? It's right where I want you to be. Where you're trusting in me, because now I'll get the glory." And he does something unexpected and he gets the glory. There was a time, probably about 6 months ago, I had a decision to make in my life. And it was just, have you ever had one of those times where you feel like you're being forced into a decision, but it's not something you want to do and you're not sure it's right, but you feel so much pressure that you just feel like, "I'm just going to do it because I can't handle this pressure. I feel like I'm going to go insane." Have you ever felt that way? Well, I was in one of those kind of situations where there was just so much pressure. I felt like I was being forced to do something that I wasn't sure was the Lord, but I was desperate. I said, "God, I am just in turmoil over this. And Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do. You just show me and I'll do it. Please help me because I can't live this way." You know what happened? The next morning I woke up and I had an email from a friend in Romania. And he said, "I was praying for you last night while I was studying. And I'm trying to figure out the time change. I should have asked him when. It was probably right when I was praying." He says, "I don't know, but I feel like the Lord was speaking to me about you." And this is what he was saying. And it was the perfect answer for what I was praying about. Praise God, the unexpected. How good God is, isn't he? I mean, I couldn't have gone through that turmoil anymore. I felt like I was going to lose my mind. And God came to me and helped me through a brother in Romania who's just sitting there studying his Bible. And the Lord speaks to him and says, "You know what? You need to tell Bill this." And he does, and I'm freed up and delivered. God is good. The next one is through the fellowship of saints. Through the fellowship of saints. This is why we must not isolate ourselves in times of trial. When we really get into a trial and it's really beating on us, it's so easy to isolate ourselves, isn't it? Because we think, "You know what? I just don't feel like going out and having all those people say, 'How you doing?' And I've got to act happy. I want to act happy. I'd rather just stay home, watch American Idol, and sulk. Get me a pint of Ben and Jerry's and sulk." Right? "I don't want to be at church. I don't want to be around them. They're all happy and their life's just little perfect lives and all that." And you know what? But God uses others to help us. That's what the body's all about. God uses others to bring us words of comfort. How many times this has happened recently in my life? I was standing outside and Bobby came up to me and he said, "You know what? I was praying for you yesterday." Another one of these kind of deals going on. "I was praying." I like when people pray for me because God tells them stuff. So I was praying. I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart about what you're going through. He said, "Here's what I think God's saying. You know what is the exact thing I needed to hear right then? If I'd have isolated myself and not been around, I'd have never heard that." How many times that has happened in the last couple of months where people have just said just the perfect thing at the right time. And I think, "God, I love the body of Christ. I love your church. It is so strengthening, so helpful. Next one. Through a promise in Scripture. So we have, by gracious providence, through the fellowship of saints, through a promise in Scripture. In times of trial, we can stop reading our Bibles. Why is that? Why is that? You know, I feel so weak and so distracted and all that. But this is the time you need to be in the Word, isn't it? I mean, if you ever need to be in the Word, it's during those times of struggle and trial. This is the time you need to see the promises God has given to you. This is the time you need to start writing those promises in your list of fighter verses and going over them again and again and saying, what does this really mean to me right now? Here's a promise that looks so wonderful, but God, what does that mean to me right now? How do I apply this to my life? How do I find comfort and joy and rest through it? So through a promise in Scripture, and the last one is through the Spirit's strengthening. I mean, how many times this has happened to me and you? Where you're down and discouraged. I told you, let's see, about 4 weeks ago, I'm pretty transparent, so in the pulpit, and I don't know if that's good or bad. But there was about a month ago where I said, I felt like quitting Christianity. So I was fed up, and I felt like quitting. You know what? That lasted about 5-10 minutes. And the Spirit came to me and just strengthened me. I got back up and said, no, never mind. You know what? I think I'll go ahead and continue on. But that's the way it is, isn't it? He's constantly coming to us and encouraging us. The Bible says that He is the lifter of our heads. And that is so true. How many saints have felt hopeless with eyes filled with tears? And they've dropped to their knees. And God, who is the lifter of our heads, God, who is the comforting God, has come to them and supernaturally strengthened their hearts. And they've got up off their knees like I did and said, no. Lord, if You're with me, I can go on. And I will go on. Lord, through Your strength, I depend upon You. I depend upon Your faithfulness, Lord. And I'll continue on. Let me give you this quote by Spurgeon. Oh, do not give up. You need not be cowards. Do not give up. Do not say, I am beaten. I will always be despondent. My life is crushed. You need not be so. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Get to your chambers. Fall upon your knees. Pour out your heart before God. Tell your trouble to the Most High, and as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, He must and will help those who put their trust in Him. Has He ever failed any who trusted in Him? Who has ever stopped His hand or withdrawn Him from His designs? Who has ever made Him deny His promise or retract His word? If you will trust Him, He will be better to you than your fears. No, better to you than your beliefs or your largest hopes. Stay yourselves upon Him. Lean upon the bosom of eternal love. Lean hard. Lean all your weight there and leave that weight there, and the Lord be with you and bless you. Blessed are all they that trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. He will be with you. He will help you. He will strengthen you when you trust in Him. So let me ask you this. Do you find yourself here tonight? The problems of life just seem to be crushing you. Yet there is a faint whisper in your soul. I will hope in the Lord. I feel weak. I feel useless. Yet I will hope in Him. Listen, then this verse is for you. The comfort of this verse. The comfort of this whole psalm. Shake yourself. Rise up. Don't give up. Hebrews 12:11-12 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. Stand up. Stand up and trust. Preach to yourself like David did. I will still hope in my God. Though I can't see how this will work out, I will hope in God and I will trust in His goodness and in His kindness. Then trust Him to do what only He can do in His timing. He will strengthen your heart. He will deliver you. He will help. I just received an email from Deborah, our beloved sister Deborah, and she said this. She had been in a hard, dry place for an extended period of time, right? And here's what she wrote to me. Hi, Pastor Bill. Just wanted to say a big thank you to you for all your prayers. God has helped me to see so much about prayer through this seemingly dry place that I have walked through with Him. That's right, I have walked through it. I am grateful to say that I am on the other side now and wanted you to know because you have faithfully prayed for me. I know I was never alone through it, just felt that way. So thankful that He carried me through it and has made a way for me to be strengthened, renewed, and revived. Amen. Never give up. Never give up. Keep trusting. He will visit you in His perfect time. Hope in the Lord. Let me finish with one psalm. Psalm 33, verses 16 through 22. And this may speak to you in your situation right now. It speaks to me. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him. Now listen to all the hopes in there. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Isn't that good? In lean times. These are lean times, brothers and sisters. But what does He say there? To deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Verse 20, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. He says, listen, I don't look to the things of the world and put my hope there. The strongest things of the world, the most trustworthy things of the world, those things can't save you. But I hope in the Lord. He is the one who can rescue me and deliver me and strengthen me in lean times. I hope in His unfailing love. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in these times that are lean for many, Lord, I pray that we would lean hard on You, that our hope, that our trust would be in You, Lord. Father, don't let us look to the things of the world. Don't let us put all of our hope in other people. Lord, everything else fails. Everything else is shaky and temporal. But Lord, in You we can have a confidence that is built on the solid bedrock of Your scriptures and of Your character and of Your past record that has never failed. So, Lord, we look to You. Forgive us for allowing anxiety and fear into our life. Forgive us, Lord, for the unbelief that can creep in so easily that does dishonor You. And Father, help us to place our faith in You, to fix our gaze upon You and not on the circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.